This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, I'll take a timeout from the business at hand to give you 7 good minutes of football. Kenny, music, please.
So after week three in the NFL, we have some week three potential overreactions and a look a little bit to the future. Tell me if you think these takes are realistic. I've collected them from various sources online with hot takes on week three.
All right.
First one here, Malik Nabers is the best wide receiver from the 24 draft class, 37.8% target share, the fourth highest for any player through three games in over the last decade.
You want me to go first or wait for Rico?
No, I'll go first. Kenny, yes. And the reason why I'll say yes, because I think he's got the best quarterback throwing to him. I know Daniel Jones, but...
you think...
No. I look at Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze could probably put up big numbers, but I don't think Caleb is ready for the NFL right now. So he's going to go through a lot of growing pains, whereas if you were to put Rome on some other team, he could have done something. Now, the only one, I think he would have...
No, what does this have to do with Odunze? It's either Harrison or Nabers.
No, I was going to say, actually, the one that could be is Xavier Worthy in Kansas City. That's the one that I think is going to be in competition with Nabers.
He just looks like Tavon Austin to me. Good luck at 165 surviving. I mean, look, Harrison's got Kyler. I got Daniel Jones. And what Nabers has done, it's the single best three-game start to a career in the history of the NFL. Give my dad one piece of joy. Malik Nabers, FTW.
Okay.
One for Big G.
That's for you, Big G.
That's it. That's all I ask.
This one I never thought I would say out loud. Sam Darnold.
What, you're sober?
No. Hey, Sam Darnold is the hottest quarterback in the NFL after 3 weeks.
Also stunning.
He leads the NFL in passing touchdowns and ranks second in passer rating, fourth in yards per attempt.
Did you hear what Belichick said about Darnold? It was spicy. He goes, it's no surprise. Everyone likes Sam Darnold, except the Jets. Like, everyone has liked him at every step, basically saying the Jets mishandled this guy. I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird because, I mean, even when he was at San Francisco, they were like, yeah, we like him, but most teams have a quarterback and he's coming in to be the backup. It's like, if we didn't have a backup, we would have you. Minnesota may have lucked into this. Kenny, I would say I would have him tied with Josh Allen. Josh Allen's really improved a lot to me. And these first three games, I'm like, wow. You keep playing like that, and I think you may win an MVP.
And this wasn't the best quarterback in the NFL. This was the hottest quarterback in the NFL, both with great three weeks.
No, I mean, there's no argument. And again, it's what good organizations are able to do. Rico's organization does it. Kevin O'Connell does it. Sean McVay does it. Remember, Baker's turnaround started in L.A. when he went there after getting jettisoned in Carolina, and you go, wait, Baker looks okay. And then there's franchises like mine.
Speaking of franchises like yours, Saquon Barkley is the best signing in the NFL offseason. Leads the league in rushing yards, tied for rushing touchdowns.
Jesus, Kenny, I would, on live radio, it's hard to canvas every signing, but I'm good with it if you just say yes. I mean, look, he's carrying them the first couple of weeks. No A.J. Brown. Devontae Smith, I'm pretty sure, died.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead. I'll say yes.
Yeah, and you know what? If he catches the pass, you know, they're undefeated right now. So, yeah, they've gotten their money's worth. I think that's safe to say.
Matt LaFleur should be NFL Coach of the Year. Malik Willis looked like he was going to be out of the NFL entirely a few years back. And
yes, he's one of the great offensive minds in the game. And it's clear that with Rodgers leaving, he got to run the offense he really wanted to run. We were talking about Love as a top five QB. And look, the words Malik Willis has won back-to-back games in this league should never be uttered.
Right.
So, yes, LaFleur wins.
Oh, man, yes. But you can't forget Kevin O'Connell either, because Minnesota, you know, JJ was going to be your guy. They were left for dead. They were the team that no one in the NFC North talked about, and everybody's looking up at them. But, yeah, what Green Bay is doing, because, look, when we were in Vegas and we saw him go down, like, Love, like, wow, Lions just got it easy. Yeah, those two right there, they're going to fight it out for that. But, yeah, what he did, genius.
The Steelers turned in another great defensive performance. Now, they still lack the offense, but they need to be taken seriously in the AFC.
Disagree completely. It's fun. It's cute. But let's face it. You played Bo Nix. You played half of Justin Herbert with a prosthetic leg. I can't take it serious. You're not going to win games this way.
Yeah, I think this reminds me of the Steelers of 2020, where they started the year off like 9-0 or 10-0. But even David was like, this isn't real. They're winning games. But eventually you have to be able to go out there and score. They're not. So, nah.
Andy Dalton will be the Panthers quarterback the rest of the way out. Pulled the plug on Bryce. I guess the better question is, do we ever see Bryce again?
I continue to read that the Panthers are having internal discussions about a trade, and it could happen at the deadline. Look, David Tepper's a wild card. David Tepper's the one who said bench Bryce. That wasn't Dave Canales. Dave Canales didn't take this job to start Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. Tepper could wake up one morning, have bad gas, and say, play Bryce.
Yeah.
He's totally unpredictable. I don't know. That's my answer.
Yeah, but the fact that he goes down and literally the first drive scores, and it's like, yeah, what was so hard about this? I think Bryce is, you'll see him again. You won't see him again for a Carolina Panthers jersey. I think that he's going to be a lot like we talked about, Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, guys who started at one place, maybe has to go to someplace, another city, start over again, but have that city fall in love with them, and then maybe he can do something.
Now, this one, on a scale of 1 to 10, if we lived in the greater Chicago area, where should the panic level be with Caleb Williams?
Okay. You want to go first?
I was about to say, it's almost a parallel to what's going on in East Lansing. A lot of hype and a lot of interceptions and a lot of not getting it done. Chicago was stupid enough to believe that they were a playoff team. And I kept saying, they're not. So you know what, Kenny? This is all on them, because no one said that this kid was going to go straight from USC to taking you to the playoffs. The panic meter should be low because he's playing like a rookie QB, but Chicago people aren't that smart. So I'm going to say it's a lot higher.
It's 5 for me. I mean, the same stupid stuff I saw at USC he's doing now. But
Amen.
the problem is they can't run the ball. It's a lot like Aiden Childs in that regard. Yeah. They can't run it. And then Caleb's got to feel like he's doing it all on his own. And then, cutscene, stupid bleep. And you're like, why did you just do that?
Brother, you could change the color of the jerseys, and it's the same story.
It feels similar.
Are we just going to gloss over the fact that Rico called everybody from Chicago stupid? Because that was kind of funny.
Well, they are. They have tomatoes and pickles on their hot dogs. It's a ridiculous premise. Their pizza is also a casserole. Not bright.
We talked about Malik Nabers earlier, so I wanted to end on this.
More Nabers talk.
Will a wide receiver win Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Yes. Because the rookie QBs look... wait a minute.
That's why I asked the question.
Whoa, stop the clock. Jaden Daniels. I asked this question of Cookies yesterday on the podcast, and I know it's stupid and it's way, way too early, but for fun. Sports are fun. Did the Bears draft the wrong quarterback?
Give me yes for 1,000,
okay.
Alex.
Ready? Here's a stat, because don't tell me the Commanders are good. They're not. The Commanders haven't punted since week one. They didn't punt against the Giants, 7 scoring drives. They didn't punt against the Bengals, 38 points. That's a rookie quarterback playing a role in that.
Yeah. I think they did. And, yeah, I think he's going to be the runaway MVP. if he can just put up, because everybody's going to remember that game on Monday night. And yeah, the receivers are going to be good, but I don't think you have any great receivers. So yeah, he's going to end up winning the MVP.
Yes.
And that is In Football Today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
All right, Tigers, clearly the story of the day. We're going to get back to it momentarily. Also, Kerry Carpenter on the morning show. If you wanted that, odyssey.com rewind. We've asked the question all day today. Is this team going to the World Series? Now, we arrived at that topic through some zaniness. But it's just about gauging your level of belief in destiny and in the inexplainable. In many ways, the Tigers are the baseball equivalent of Rico's UFOs. So we just talk about it.
Take a stray.
Not a stray. You believe in zaniness. What the Tigers have done, it's zany.
Not zaniness. Neither can be proven.
That Bo Brisky's not Dennis Eckersley? I know.
Greg Maddux is on the staff.
I wanted to just for a moment, if we could. We'll get back into the Tigers in a second, and we will get to your calls. College football. In the same vein that we've been talking about the Tigers, Rico, the idea of how far can they take it? Look at our two college teams. Now, this weekend was illuminating for a lot of reasons. One, look, Michigan turned themselves into a service academy. It was the only way I could see them doing it, and they did it. And they won a game that I gave them a good shot in here. So I don't believe they're beating Oregon. I don't believe they're beating Ohio State. And I do believe they will drop a game somewhere where they're just not going to bully somebody and have 32 yards passing. But is it wrong of me to say that by making the switch to Orgy and changing how they play football, they have now built a floor in that they are no worse than 8-4? Is that fair?
No, because one of the teams that I thought you were going to lose to was USC. You beat them. So, yeah, 8-4 is there unless you just have a stinker and you go to 7-5. But I see where you're going with the floor because, yeah, you're looking at Indiana. I think it's probably that one school that probably is your that toughest test for that could beat you. Yeah. I can agree with that. I can roll with that.
As far as Michigan State goes, I have a question. I don't know that I'll get a single call on it, and I want to be clear. There's nobody who wants Aiden Childs to be awesome more than me, but I live in the real world. So here's my issue. Now, this is where Rico's going to call me a boomer and an old man. I'm not mad that Aiden Childs makes a bleep load of money. In fact, I just don't care. But whether you play for free or whether you make $1 million a year, here's the rule for a quarterback. You do not get to play when you consistently give the football to the other team. I don't care if you're in grade school, middle school, high school, JUCO, D3, D2, 1AA, or 1A. I don't care. I don't care if you play for Kent State or Kentucky. I don't care if you play for Alabama A&M or the Crimson Tide. The rules are the rules. MSU was so much better than Boston College, it's not even funny. Why did they lose the game? The turnovers. You want to cite the fumbled kickoff? You're right. Aiden Childs doesn't return kicks. But he had 3 interceptions and at least 6 turnover-worthy throws, meaning, oh my God, that's in the hands of a Boston College defender. Oh, thank God he dropped it.
Reason why he plays DB and not wide receiver.
Yeah, baby. So my question is, If he goes out and turns it over a couple times against Ohio State, at what point does a head coach in 2024, all things considered, financial, ego, portal, all of it, weighing that out versus I have to establish accountability in this program? Meaning, Aiden, we love you. Clearly, we're paying you a hell of a lot. You can't keep doing this. You're killing the 84 other scholarship players. Inaccuracies, I can live with. I ran it when I should have thrown. I thrown it when I should have ran. I can live with it. Mm-hmm. Rico, we talked about this off air. If you check it down and you missed a deep read, it's all part of the process.
Right.
But when you are doing, I'm Brett Favre, and you're he has 8 or 9 turnovers in 4 games. If he throws his second pick against Ohio State, am I wrong for saying, Aiden, you're going to sit next to me now, and you're going to look at this. You're still our starter, but I can't keep doing this. Or is that me? Oh, Mike's stuck in 1984. Enjoy your grape nuts.
Buddy, thanks for listening to the Five Star Zone. Said the exact same thing. If I'm Jonathan Smith, I would say before the game, Aiden, after your second interception or second turnover, you're out. You're going to stand next to me and we're going to watch the game together. And maybe that'll help you see it differently from the sideline and see what you should do in the next game. But you're right. You can't just keep sending this kid out there to turn the ball over and say, well, he's going to get better. There has to be some repercussions for the mistake. So
I think there's a first round pick in that guy.
He's there. Good. I mean,
but he needs time.
Like the one play where he breaks, it should have been a 12 yard sack and instead he turned into a 25 yard run. It's like, okay, that was brilliant. Even the play late in the game where he eludes the defense and flips it in the air to Nate Carter, it should have been a touchdown. It's like, okay, that's the Aiden Childs that we're all waiting to see. But yeah, when he's just throwing the ball into double coverage, it's like, why?
He's not seeing it, Rico. Safeties were playing games with him.
They were. And going back to your Michigan thing, I would say, actually, Mike, I would maybe put the floor at 7-5. Here's my rationale for that. Can we agree USC's defense was not lights out? They couldn't tackle. They're better than they were last year. Michigan, I don't know if it's sustainable that you're going to get a pick six in every game, or a defensive or a special team score. In the second half, until the final drive, it was 3 and out.
Yeah.
Against a USC defense at home. You're going to run this style and you and teams just realize they're never going to pass the ball, we're going to stack the line, that's going to be difficult to do.
It will, but let's also be, I want to be fair. Fair is my favorite F word.
It's not.
I want to give Alex Orji, I want to show him enough grace that he came into this game with 7 career passes. He has to show incremental improvement. I don't think he'll ever be a high-level passer. It's why no one was really offering him as a quarterback out of high school. But if he can become average?
No, I think if he, what'll change my mind and bring it back to 8-4, is the health of Loveland. If Loveland's in there, I think he can cover up some of the warts and he could hit him with the short passes, because it was just like, all right, 3rd and 8 and 2 yard pass. That's and pray to God your guy can break a tackle. Oh, he couldn't, and we're punting the ball again. So I don't think that you're going to get Will Johnson baiting a quarterback into another pick six. If you're relying upon that, I don't see that. But yeah, as far as Childs, I said the same thing, man. You got to have the and don't do it during the game. Let him know, hey, kid, 2 turnovers is your limit from here on out. Once you get that second one, you're right here with me, because I guess is the goal of the season to develop Aiden Childs, or is it to win games? If you're telling me it's just to develop Aiden Childs, then leave him in there at all costs.
And I have choice C.
What's choice
C? To set a standard for what this effing program is going to be about. If you bastardize yourself in your first year as head coach by allowing a kid to go out and have 27 turnovers at the end of a season, what message are you sending to the rest of the guys in that room where if a DB blows an assignment, you're sitting his ass on the bench? Mm-hmm. If an offensive lineman has 3 personal fouls for late hits. You're not whistling by that graveyard. No. Oh, I don't care. Aiden makes the most. See, this is my.
See,
I don't want to be a boomer.
No, no, no.
This is my problem.
Here's the thing. When he was making all the mistakes, I'm not even sitting there thinking, you make $1 million. I'm thinking, Aiden, are you blind? Why are you throwing in the double coverage? The money didn't even pop into my head.
Oh, it popped into mine.
I'm just thinking, you can't keep throwing to the other team in double coverage. That's the problem. And you can't keep missing wide open receivers. The offensive coordinator is... He's designing plays that guys are running free,
what
and each and
you?
Every time, him and Foster
I
just
told you
miss
about
each
Lindgren.
Other.
This is why I like Jonathan Smith. They were able to scheme people wide open at OSU. It was the TJ Lang drunk on the couch Cooper Kupp text that I get every Sunday. How the hell is this guy so open? Hey, that's what Lindgren does.
I don't know if it's just the fact that Childs and Foster can't get along, because think about it. He was able to hit Nick Marsh wide open twice.
Here's my
at Maryland.
Here's my opinion, and you can tell me I'm wrong, and that's fine. Aiden is going to win a game we have no business winning somewhere on this schedule. He is going to have that first round draft pick game
Saturday.
But no. I'm just saying there's also going to be a game like Saturday night where he single-handedly costs this team a win. And I have to see some accountability. And for the mouth breathers, no one is screaming about Aiden Childs. No one is vilifying him. Guys, it's simple. There has to be accountability. He can't keep turning it over this way.
You're right, but here's the thing. Just like in Maryland, if the Carter makes that catch, you forget about all the interceptions and the turnovers he had against Maryland because they won the game late. They rallied. Okay. All right. And late in that game... There was a touchdown. Carter put on boxing gloves, and he dropped the ball.
You know, the other thing, and I try to be mindful of it, State did play the game missing four of their top five receivers from a wide receiver room that I'm pretty convinced Kenny could get reps in. So it's not a good spot, and I know there's no running game, but it doesn't nothing. No situation on a football field at any level of football justifies or allows me to rationalize a QB who is -3 in the turnover column every game.
Yeah.
It's got to stop.
8 turnovers in 4 games.
Yeah.
Last time I checked.
And that's before we play Ohio State, Oregon, and Michigan.
Oh, not
fun.
Good.
Fun. 248-539-9797. We'll get some of your phone calls. Don't worry. We'll get back to the Tigers, too. Kenny, a few ticket texts. We'll get back to the phones. We took a brief detour from baseball. We've done it all day. We'll continue to do it, but asking questions about Michigan and Michigan State. Also, there's a wild story in college football that I absolutely blame Rico for, but we may get to it later. No, again, how can anyone take this sport seriously? You know what? F it. I'm doing it right now. I don't care.
Here's why you can't blame me. What? Because I said immediately when this went down,
okay,
sign contracts. Make the schools pay.
All right.
Have a salary cap.
Well, you can't have a cap if it's not collectively bargained.
Okay.
I'm just shooting you straight.
Sign contracts with kids with NIL. Okay. No more handshake deals at Arby's.
All right. Here's what happened. So one of the fun stories in college football is UNLV. They're undefeated for the first time at 3-0 since 1984. When? Who played quarterback?
Ooh. Oh.
Was also led America in punting.
I was about to say, was it Randall Cunningham?
Yes. So,
yes!
here's my point. Matt Sluka was a transfer. They got him from Holy Cross. He goes out there. And national TV, they play Kansas on a Friday night as 10-point dogs. They beat him. Sluka put the team on his back. He carried the ball like 25 times. He's like a whirling dervish, very Drew Stanton-y. The kid looks like he's drunk when he's running. He's bouncing off tacklers, whatever. They go out. They beat Houston. They're 3-0. They are, outside of Boise State, maybe the best non-Power 5 team that's out there. They will play Boise State. Why is this relevant? They have dreams of going to the playoff. One problem. Matt Sluka this morning decided, I ain't playing football no more. I was promised things I didn't get. I'm shutting it down, using my red shirt, and taking my talent somewhere else. Wait, huh? So now Sluka claims... And some reporters are claiming he was promised $100,000 to transfer to UNLV. He never got the $100,000. In fact, he never got 50 or 25 or even 10. In fact, his family, shocker, claims his living expenses weren't even covered. Well, my first reaction as an adult is, if it's not in writing, it didn't happen. What kind of idiots are you that you transferred on the handshake of an assistant coach with no paperwork and didn't get any money up front? You know who I blame? You. But wait, there's more. Second place is the steak knives. Now UNLV has put out an official statement, essentially saying Matt Sluk is a terrorist and we don't negotiate with terrorists.
Not what they said. But
No. They said straight up, he made financial demands to continue playing and we don't engage in that type of behavior.
Yes.
Also, that's Ronald Reagan saying I don't negotiate with terrorists.
Also that his agent was not a licensed agent in the state of Nevada. So therefore, we can't even have negotiations with him because, sir, it's illegal to talk to you. And if we talk to you, NCAA is coming after us.
Cutscene, your starter's dead. In the best start to a season you've had in 40 years, and you are a legitimate, shout out the Go-Go offense, contender to win the Mountain West and maybe go to the college football playoff.
You beat Boise,
and your quarterback says, F you.
Yeah.
Nice sport, Rico. Thank you so much.
No, Mike, I said from day one, this would be a problem unless you get a contract so you don't have kids leaving year after year, sign a 1 year, 2 year, or 3 year deal, very similar to what Gundy said at Oklahoma State. Let's make this binding. Let's make this legal. Because some reports are saying that he was getting like $3,000 and he walked in and said, okay, I won more games. I want to renegotiate with his agent. And they were like, we don't do that. We're not going to do it in the middle of the season. And, sir, we don't know who you are. You sent us an email in the middle of the season.
Right. And there were reports, and I don't know how. Listen, I'm not trying to be Walter Cronkite, but there was some thought that after that big game against Kansas, that's when he got this new agent, and that's when he started making demands. Look, bottom line is, none of this is good. It's an awful look. And here's the question. Now, while you don't care about the running Rebs, I want to ask a question to Mr. Rico Lamar Beard and Kenneth G. Cott. Here's what it got me thinking. College football playoff time. Somebody's going to get a call at 11 o'clock the night before a playoff game saying, I want the amount of money on this piece of paper or I opt out of the playoff game. Now, you tell me if I'm Oliver Stone conspiracy theory or if that's just simply the next step.
I think it could be the next step, Mike. I think the only reason it wouldn't happen is because if you're that player, you probably have aspirations of going to the NFL, and that would really hurt your chances of going because you would become a problem before you even get there. And a lot of teams would be like, well, if you did this to your college team, I don't know what you're going to do to the pro team.
Problem is, the NFL is the same league that drafted a player who chokeslammed his pregnant girlfriend. Hi, I'm Tyreek Hill.
And also the NFL, and this is what I think it comes to, and I think it is possible that that happens, but in the NFL, you're going to sign a contract. You're going to have an agreement. Yeah, I think is what it comes to.
In theory, Mike, everything you're saying is true. It could happen where all of a sudden a guy just says, hey, I want to renegotiate this thing, or you have a big game, and you're just like, yeah, I know I said I want this, but I really want this now. Look at the game that I just had. You need me more than I need you, or else I'll just opt out the season and wait to go to the NFL. Yes. But they were opting out before the NIL. So I could absolutely see this now with NIL that you can just say, you know what? Either you pay me or I don't want to risk getting injured and I'll just wait and take my chances at the NFL
combine. But you understand why my mind went there. Oh, I'm not dying on the hill. I just went, you know what?
Well, Mike,
I thought back to Michigan last year. Like, imagine if Blake Corum the night before the game is like, yeah, I'm going to need a little sweetener or I ain't playing. My knee hurts.
Yeah.
What would you have done? You better come up with that money.
You're right.
Night before. Here's the other thing. The NFL argument is applicable in a lot of cases. You're right. But there are plenty of dudes who are really good college football players that just don't have high grades in the NFL. It's the last chance to cash in.
Yeah.
That player, man, if you're one of them schools, this is a mess. Yeah. That's a mess.
It's the last time you're going to make this amount of money. That's the last time you're going to ask for this amount of money. I can easily see that. But for me, it's very simple. You sign a deal. You put your name on the dotted line. Hey, Mr. Kenny Cott, you're going to come here. We're going to pay you this. Here's the disbursements. Like You go through all the different things. If you want some of it funneled to your family, fine. We'll send them a check. You want it to go to your grandmother, fine. We'll send her a check. But you work it all in the details so that once the season starts, you have a great game, Kenny. You throw 5 touchdowns. Don't you dare walk into my office saying I want more because I can't take away money for you if you suck.
Isn't that what happened to State with Derek Harmon? Didn't they pay him? And then like 10 minutes later, he got a call from Oregon.
Yeah.
And Oregon was willing to double him up or whatever because Phil Knight's got that Nike money.
Yeah.
Dude, the whole thing is dumb. Go ahead, Kenny.
No, but to Mike's original point, I would be willing to make a lunch bet right here, right now, that somebody does this within the next couple of years of the expanded playoff. That somebody holds a team hostage and goes, you know what? Sign this piece of paper. You owe me this much money. I could totally see it happening, especially with a 9, 10, 11, 12 school, 100%.
Kenny, you and Mike may be right, but I don't know if we'll ever be able to prove it because the player will swear up and down, well, it's a groin injury.
Or a report will come out suggesting that may have happened.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is you get so many friendly media in college athletics because they're just interested in the free meal and some cookies in the press box. Man, you can leak out the right stuff to the right people, and if you want to slander a kid, they'll run with it. Or if you need somebody to, hey, I need an extra large ice cream cone on this story, they'll do it.
Yeah.
Hell, look at this UNLV thing. I don't think it's accidental how this played out.
I've always said, if somebody handed me a story that easily, I'm good. Tell it to somebody else.
Or you can make a career out of it. So let's just get to... No, I'm happy. Hey, here's a story for you. Why are you telling me this story? Like, no, I'm passing.